Started up a practice in 1999 doing natural things. Doctors called me the witch doctor because nobody else was doing it.
Food is really where all the magic happens. If you had to narrow it down, what are five good nutrients that you should be eating on a daily basis?
The number one food that has the most anti-cancer benefits are actually legumes. I actually encourage eating beans every single day.
Tell me a little bit about what the criteria you use to determine which supplements are truly beneficial for cancer prevention.
Many supplements are cheaply made. It's even hard to know for sure if it's good or bad. But I do look at a few things on supplements. Primarily is looking at the...
Hello, friends. Welcome back to the Cancer Proof Living Podcast. I'm so glad you're here. I'm Michelle, an 8-year non-Hodgkin's lymphoma cancer survivor, a mom, and a certified integrative nutrition health coach. After cancer, I wanted more than just survival, so I built the healing roadmap I couldn't find. Now I guide survivors and cancer-conscious humans to detox, rebuild, and thrive. Today, I had the opportunity to speak with a very special guest, Keith Bishop with Prevail Over Cancer. Keith's the kind of guy who makes science feel like common sense. He's an integrative health educator and cancer research specialist who spent years turning complex medical data into clear, practical advice for everyday people. Whether he's breaking down supplement myths, helping clients navigate cancer care, or pushing for cleaner food policies, Keith brings both heart and rigor to the conversation. He's also an entrepreneur, building guides, books, and coaching programs that empower folks to take charge of their health with real science and not hype. And you guys, this episode is full of juicy details and great advice. Make sure you have a pen and paper handy. Let's get it started. Keith, I think you do it all.
Well, just about, quite a bit. You know, I'm definitely kind of in the, my specialty is kind of like in the heat of the moment when there's a major crisis. Mm-hmm. You know, usually that's when I get to see people. I do a little bit of prevention, a little bit post, you know, cancer type things. Nothing like what you do. You know, after treatments and things like that. So I do quite a bit, kind of an evolution, you know, in, you know, starting off with pharmacy. I had a pharmacy, owned a pharmacy for 15 years. And actually, my wife was having several health issues. Her father passed away of prostate cancer. And my father was diagnosed with prostate cancer. His dad had prostate cancer. And so I started studying, you know, what do I need to do, you know, about this? And I kept coming up with, and actually that was before the internet was like really available. So that's back in 1998, internet was just kind of becoming available, but I kept coming up with food, you know, food items, increasing the risk of prostate cancer. Matter of fact, I helped my wife also. I was actually certified in asthma and pulmonary disease management as a pharmacist. Mm-hmm. And I was helping people with asthma. And so actually I really had an interest in even opening up an asthma clinic, which is kind of weird. But actually, I couldn't sell the pharmacy. And so therefore, I couldn't go into that. And then actually, I prayed to God and said, God, if you want me to go into natural things, because I've seen some benefits, you know, in that, you know, I need to sell the pharmacy. Within 2 weeks, a guy walked in and said, Keith, you want to sell your pharmacy?
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, you know, definitely. So within 30 days, I'd sold the pharmacy, you know, and jumped ship. And everybody thought I was crazy. You know, family members didn't tell me that, but I had some former school friends that told me that, Keith, you're, you know, why are you doing that? And I said, I feel like God's told me to do this, you know, go into that. So I did open up a business. I played for a few years, had a first grandchild. Actually, I take that back, second grandchild. And then, you know, started up a practice, you know, in 1999, doing natural things. And then as a clinical nutritionist in my private practice, and I did a little bit of prescription compounding at that time, some bioidentical hormones and thyroids to help actually pay the bills at first, because at that time in Oklahoma City, there was like two other doctors that were considered to be quacks that were doing natural things. And then myself, and then doctors called me the witch doctor. And so because nobody else was doing it.
I was going to say, back in 1999, I don't think that naturopathic or natural ways were a thing, and it wasn't celebrated the way it's being celebrated now. So I know back then it was probably quite an uphill battle and a struggle just to have people understand the, you know, the importance of it or the severity of it, right?
That's right. Yeah. So, and then 2001, I learned about a year ago that that was actually my first client with cancer. She was diagnosed with breast cancer on her birthday in 2001, and she went from the doctor's office and came to see me because I was actually helping her with her hormones. And so she came to see me. And so she was the first client that I know of, you know, with that. And then my mother ended up with glioblastoma. And then a doctor friend, actually, that was a functional medicine doctor, a gastroenterologist with glioblastoma about the same time. My mother did not survive. She was not willing to make enough diet changes. It was a challenge. You know, my brother was there 4 days a week. I was there 3 days a week, you know, helping her. And my brother said, you know, says, I'm not going to make her make those changes. I'm tired of fighting her.
Yeah.
You know, so she just didn't want to make those changes. And so, but now my doctor friend, he did make the changes. He was already into the natural things the best he could as a doctor at that time. And so he made the dietary changes. And now it's almost, I think this fall would be 20 years, a 20-year survivor.
Wow.
And so he's doing great. We still talk every once in a while now that I have, you know, actually stepped into just cancer, and he's actually retired now. And so I don't have as much feedback with him, you know, with that, but he's doing great. He's thriving.
That's amazing. I love to hear stories like that. We don't hear those stories enough. So thank you for sharing that. And I'm so sorry about your mother and having to go through that process as well. It's very hard to see. And it's also, you know, we've shared before, you and I offline too, I lost my mom to cancer, not a genetic cancer or anything like that, but she was also very naturopathic, but the consistency around the changes that needed to be made and what was made was a mismatch. So I completely understand what you mean when you say it's an uphill battle and it's a fight. It's a constant fight. And you get to a point where you're like, you know, you can't do it for them. And, you know, and, right. And it kind of is what it is, right? Because it's the patient's decision at the end of the day. But I can very much relate to that. And so I'm just so sorry for your loss around that. But it's just so interesting how all of this led up and put you on the path to cancer prevention and
right.
All the wonderful work that you're doing right now. And you help so many people. And if you guys don't follow Prevail Over Cancer on Instagram, you have to check out his page. It's such an enormous wealth of information and science-backed information and just so easy to apply. And I feel like you do a really good job at debunking a lot of myths out there, things that people are like, should I take this? Should I not take this? You do a really good job breaking it down with real information so people have enough resources and information to make those decisions for themselves. So I just think what you do is so important. So I'm so grateful to not only have you on here to share your story, but just to be a follower of you as well and learn as much as that I learned from you. It's really incredible.
Well, thank you. And yeah, I'm one of, you know, there's all kinds of personality studies you can do. And actually that's, I'm a science person. Mm-hmm. And that's why I ended up, actually, I started off as a musician in college.
Oh, how cool.
But I wasn't a great musician because I didn't like to practice. I like to perform. I like being in front of people, but I wouldn't sit down in the studio and practice hours and hours and hours every day. So I knew I'd starve. So I switched gears, but then went back and looked I do great with science, science and biosciences. And I have an uncle who actually is 10 years older than me. He's still practicing, still has a pharmacy.
Wow.
And so he's 78 years old, and he was my mentor, got me started in pharmacy. And what I loved about what he was doing was that he was helping people one-on-one and talking to people. So he doesn't work for a chain, you know, and it's, you know, he's not hidden. He's just right there, you know, for every single patient that comes in. And so he kind of got me started, and it's kind of a perfect way to, you know, that satisfaction of helping people, but basing it off of science, you know, and such like that. So, you know, there's a lot of information and a lot of pushback even on some things that we break what, you know, if somebody says is good or is believed to be good or bad. And really, there's not much science behind that. And so, you know, a lot of times people will complain about that. But oh, well, that's social media.
Yeah. That's true. Well, so speaking of that, this is a great place to kind of jump in. I have so many great questions about supplements and cancer prevention. And I know that you're a retired pharmacist and you have all of the data behind supplements and things that you might recommend to people. But tell me a little bit about like what the criteria you use to determine which supplements are truly beneficial for cancer prevention and what kind of isn't.
Sure. And so part of it is going to be, first of all, a kind of a quality type issue. Mm-hmm. And so many supplements are, well, cheaply made. And sometimes it's even hard to know for sure if it's good or bad. And so that's the challenge. And price doesn't always lead us, you know, down that road. And so I do know some very expensive cars that also break down very quickly. So, you know, and so they, you know, they're not well made. They have that fancy label on it. But so I do look at a few things on supplements, including, well, primarily is like looking at the minerals that are in the supplements.
Okay.
And so if a mineral has the word oxide, like if there's zinc or magnesium oxide, mm-hmm. those supplements are extremely difficult to absorb.
Okay.
And so they take a lot of stomach acid. Our stomach makes hydrochloric acid, mm-hmm. and that acid breaks apart those two words. So we have the magnesium and oxide. Those are bound together, or zinc and oxide. It takes acid to break the magnesium from the oxide. So we have the ion, and that's what's absorbed.
Okay.
And so that oxide or gluconate are a couple of words that I see, if that's listed in the ingredients, that's probably an inexpensive, but it's just not well-absorbed supplement.
Right, which is a really good point, because if you can't absorb the supplement, there's no point of taking it. If your body can't break it down and cannot convert it or use it, there's no point, and it's just literally throwing money out the window.
Exactly, yes.
Okay, so minerals, and if it has an oxide at the end of it, that is showing that our body would have a very hard time absorbing that.
Correct, yes.
Okay.
You know, and then in the cancer area, there's another, one other supplement, you know, that's actually, it's called folic acid, mm-hmm. which is added to not only food mm-hmm. in the United States to fortify foods that are, that they're so poorly nutritious that they have to fortify them, and they add folic acid. And the purpose of folic acid, it does have a place, and it does reduce the risk of birth defects like spina bifida. Mm-hmm. And it's a growth chemical, and it helps actually the developing embryo to close the midline gap, is what they call that, the spinal column, to form properly.
Which is why during pregnancy, they want you to take the prenatals, because it's full of folic acid, correct?
Exactly.
Yeah.
A high dose of it, you know, on that. Except there's studies showing that men and women that take folic acid supplements actually can have a 20 to 30% higher risk of cancers.
Wow. So is it because not everybody can absorb it and it's a buildup in the body and then you have a hard time detox? Like, tell me why that's leading to an increased risk of cancer.
Well, it probably has to do with the fact that it's a growth chemical. And so actually our body has to change that folic acid into methylfolate to work. That's the problem. And genetically, like myself, from one of my parents, I inherited an issue with converting that. And so
MTHFR gene, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. MTHFR gene, which can be tested. It's easy to test. Many doctors, whether functional or not, will test for that. Or you can get it tested without a doctor's order even. And so I have a little bit of an issue with that. And so actually me taking a folic acid supplement, you know, will actually increase my risk of cancers.
That is so wild. I can't believe that should be on the front of a newspaper.
Yeah, I agree.
Because what is it, the stats? Between 40 and 50% of Americans are carrying the MTHFR gene.
Yes.
I carry the gene as well. I was tested last year through functional medicine and found out, I wasn't surprised because I am a cancer survivor, but I found out I am positive for the gene. So of course that like took me down a whole nother spiral of what do I need to do? How do I need to better support my body, right? And so I had to change over my supplements, my vitamins, to a methylfolate or a methyl multivitamin that had folate in it to help support it. But I don't feel like, you know, the average person is walking around knowing this. And I had two kids. I was pumped full of folic acid. So it just goes to show you that not all supplements are safe and made for you, you know, in general, because I was taking regular folate as a cancer survivor. That increased my risk of a reoccurrence, I can imagine, and amongst other things. But that is so crazy. That is quite a big statistic, in my opinion.
Sure, it is. And I don't know how we can get the word out, you know, except
right here.
exactly, sharing it. And so, you know, I do share that on my website, you know, that type of information about quality supplements and, you know, what to watch out for. And that is going to be one of them, along with the minerals. And I definitely, you know, do take a methylated B complex, you know, to help reduce that risk. And so my homocysteine is elevated because of that. So that's a blood test that's available. So I'm big into testing, you know, and so my homocysteine is elevated, which means I need more methylfolate. Mm-hmm. So I do have to take that methylfolate. I do have to take some B12. And then even and a lot of my clients, well, I do assessments to figure out if they're low in nutrients. And I myself, I'd have to take something, a capsule, to help me absorb those minerals. Like, for example, I mentioned the magnesium and zinc oxides and gluconates that are not well absorbed. It takes a lot of stomach acid. I'm low in stomach acid. And so that makes it even more difficult for me to be healthy. And not just cancer, but just be healthy.
Sure.
And so, for example, that's why I'm not like a gigantic muscle bound guy, is I actually have some malabsorption issues. And I have to take a betaine HCL capsule with my meals, with my supplements to help me absorb those nutrients. And so I can, even though we have health challenges, we can adapt and overcome. Now I'm healthy, active. I ride horses. I play a lot. You know, I snow ski, I'm very active, but I'm just not a big muscle bound guy. And everybody's different. So, but, you know, due to malabsorption issues, you know, I try to compensate for that. I do have a tendency to be acidic. And so therefore I have to always be concentrating on those higher and better absorbed minerals to help get rid of that acidity.
I think you really hit the nail on the head with this when you said we're all different.
Yes.
That is key. We are all bioindividuals. So what you need to be healthy and to feel good and to absorb nutrients is going to be very different than what I need. And sometimes we just don't know what we need until we get tested, until we understand how our body's working, what kind of gene mutations we have, what minerals we're low in, right? And how our body's absorbing. Because I remember when I was seeing my functional doctor too, he was like, you could have eaten all the blueberries and kale in the world, but it was a drop in the bucket because you couldn't absorb A, B, and C, right? And I was like, oh my gosh, that's so crazy. You could literally be thinking, I'm doing everything right. I am doing the exercise. I'm detoxing. I'm eating all the right things. But if you don't know the inner workings of your body or you don't start to get curious about it, it really could just kind of fall on deaf ears and not be working with your body, right? The whole goal of prevention is to partner with your body, to understand the weaknesses and the strengths, and to use supplements to bridge that gap of where we need help. And I think it's hard because a lot of people don't see supplements in that light. It's more of like, oh, I'm just going to take this because it's going to help me prevent cancer. And I'm going to take this to help boost my immune system. And we don't really know necessarily what we're taking. We don't know the quality, but we also don't know how our body is receiving it and how it's being absorbed. And like you said, it could end up sometimes leading to a higher risk of cancer. So I think you said such an important piece there. We're all different and things are going to work differently within our bodies and understanding that absorption. So, and I love that too. Like that, I think testing is kind of like ground zero. We just don't know what we don't know. And before you can go in and supplement, and correct me if I'm wrong, because you are the expert in this situation, but I always tell my clients this too. Before you can go in and supplement, you have to know what you're low in and what how your body is reacting to things and what kind of supplements that you're actually purchasing. I just heard something. People that are purchasing a lot of supplements off Amazon, that a lot of these companies will take the bottles of very known companies and fill them with different types of supplements and then ship out the supplement in, you know, the supplement bottle that you know of, you know, if it's like Thorne or something, and filling it with, you know, different things. So sometimes you're, again, going through all the right steps and thinking you're doing the right things, and you're actually putting things in your body that are not helping. And it just really can be detrimental or just end up being a waste of money at the end of the day.
That's correct. And so, matter of fact, yes, I've actually seen some counterfeit items and supplements, you know, come through Amazon. You know, there's some good ones too.
Sure, of course.
But I have seen some counterfeit. And actually, when you looked at the label, you could see that it was actually just a little bit different than the brand. Matter of fact, I had a person bring in a supplement and they were claiming that we sold her this supplement that was, you know, bad.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went back and looked and I said, well, you haven't purchased that from us, you know, in about a year. You know, she said, well, I did get some things from Amazon. And so I said, well, you know, that bottle is not our bottle.
Right.
And, you know, and we buy it directly from the manufacturer. And so, but the shade of the colors on the ink was a little bit different, you know, on the bottle.
Wow. That is so wild.
Yeah. And so it's sad. You know, there are people that are out there to cheat and mm-hmm. things, but we have to just do the best we can, do some assessments, you know, on that area. Just make sure that we're doing the best that we can. But also, I think it's important that we have to pay attention to assess our body and find out what we need to do to change the internal environment that allowed that to happen. So no matter what the health challenge is, so whether it be, you know, brain issues to a joint problem, you know, to bone density, to cancer, you know, what are the underlying issues that we can test for and that we can make changes for to change that internal environment? Some people, practitioners call that a terrain.
The terrain.
The internal terrain. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But what's inside our body? And so we need to change that, you know, for the better. So I'm big in testing and evaluating and doing everything I can to evaluate what's going on inside the body. And what do we need to do to correct that?
Well, I think that's just the only way to go. I think that should be the principle for medicine, you know, just moving forward, right? Because they say cancer is a symptom of, you know, a disbalance in the terrain and what's happening in the terrain, and just figuring out that root cause. And the root cause is the environment in our body, what's off, you know, what's happening. So I think that's so incredibly smart. Okay, so then with that being said, are there supplements that actually make a difference just as anyone in general? If you're like, okay, these are the top three supplements that I think are great for cancer prevention that everyone could benefit from, do you have a few off the top of your head you could give us?
Sure, yes. And so, matter of fact, I kind of share a story sometimes about, well, if I was stranded on an island and I only had, you know, like one supplement or two or three supplements, what would that be?
Mm-hmm.
And so one of those would be actually vitamin D.
Mm-hmm.
And matter of fact, actually, as far as supplements go, you can get it with K2 is even better. But vitamin D is not really a vitamin. It's a hormone our body makes.
Mm-hmm.
And although if I was on that desert island, I'd probably be in the sunshine. I may not really need it, but it is it does help cells to be normal.
Right.
And it helps keep them from converting into abnormal. And there's even some research suggesting that kind of like precancerous cells, if they have the vitamin D, they can flip back over to normal and not progress into a cancer.
That's so interesting. I have heard that there's like a common link between people that get cancer are all low in vitamin D. It's a deficiency that we kind of all share on some levels. So it's interesting that you say that, and I'm not surprised.
Probably so. And matter of fact, and so once again, I'm big on testing, but actually, so going back to genomics or genetic testing, mm-hmm. actually my vitamin D receptor doesn't even work from either parent.
Wow.
So therefore, that actually raises my risk of cancer. So both my parents had cancer. And so I got the VDR, vitamin D receptor, mm-hmm. SNP, kind of like an MTHFR, but the VDR, my VDR doesn't work.
Mm.
And so vitamin D cannot attach to my cells and help them to be normal,
mm-hmm.
or to function normal. So even the good immune system cells, you know, that have to have that vitamin D for them to be 100%, it doesn't work. The vitamin D will not attach. Now, I still take it. There's actually another use of vitamin D in the body. So it's not just the VDR receptor, but I still take it. I still monitor that blood level, make sure that I'm up kind of like high normal. And so I do take it. But anyway, so there's still, once again, that's maybe one reason why my family has some issues, you know, in that area.
Yeah, that's interesting. Okay, so do you take the vitamin D supplement? Do you take it in a liquid form or do you take it in a capsule form because of the malabsorption issues? Is it better to take a certain form of it?
Well, actually, in this case, the liquid doesn't make that much of a difference.
Okay.
But there are quality issues. Actually, the pharmacy that I used to work at, we would do compounding, you know, and make actually drugs for human studies. And one of those human studies, which actually was a birth control pill with vitamin D added to it. And so the pharmacy bought the vitamin D, you know, from a good supplier. We made the birth control pill, sent it to the lab, and it didn't have any vitamin D in it.
Oh my gosh.
And so we even did the right thing, but it didn't have vitamin D in it. So then we went back to the supplier, a pharmaceutical grade supplier. Mm-hmm. And evidently the company that they bought it from, you know, it wasn't stored right. I've actually seen even some liquids and some soft gels not do good. Mm-hmm. And I've seen dry powder vitamin D capsules actually do good.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it's hard to really say a liquid is going to be better than a capsule, which is better than a tablet.
So is it safe to say depends on the vitamin that you're taking?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, on the vitamin D. It does. It really does in that case. And so, although I have to say that I have seen a lot of instances of actually a discount vitamin D being a greater concern, I've had people that I saw as a client, we followed up with their vitamin D level. They did great on our dry capsule form. Mm-hmm. They did great. And then a couple of years later, we had another vitamin D level and they were low. But they were taking the same strength from a discount store.
Oh.
So price is a consideration. It's not always the golden rule, but it is a consideration, you know, on vitamin D. And so, but we always have to test our blood level.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And do you think that has happened because like the cheaper version of the discounted version isn't being stored as properly, so it's losing its potency?
Definitely, yeah. And because that's been stored somewhere, it's been made in, I mean, like, hundreds of thousands of pills made all at once and stored at the manufacturer. And then they turn around and resell it to the other company mm-hmm. who stores it in a warehouse and they end up shipping it to the other store. So, I mean, there's several different steps involved and several places where heat could be a problem. It's kind of like bottled water.
Yeah. You
know, who knows how long that's been sitting out in the sunshine and the plastics become, you know, going to that. So the fact about the, you know, I say tablets are not my favorite supplement, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. and they're a little bit harder to absorb. And then capsules typically are easier to absorb. Soft gels may be a little bit better to absorb. Liquids may be a little bit better, but that's not always the case.
Depending on the vitamin or the supplement you're trying to absorb.
Depending on the product. So I do tend to favor health food stores mm-hmm. and compounding pharmacies and practitioners that sell it, you know, and there's different sources that those practitioners, they may carry it in their office or mm-hmm. go through another fulfillment center for that. I do prefer those. They're a little bit smaller batches typically and probably a little bit better quality overall. So those are my preferences. A discount store or a wholesale store is that's going to be my last option.
That's good advice for people because you do want to have quality assurance when you're taking these things. And I can imagine too, if you're buying it straight from the doctor, you're taking out probably a few of those steps that you'd be getting if you bought it off online somewhere or at a discount.
Exactly. Reduce some of those storage issues like that. Right. So, you know, definitely. And then the other item that I would want the most important one I'd want if I was on that island mm-hmm. and had no other supplements, mm-hmm. Because this supplement actually reduces the risk of heart attacks, strokes, dementia, cancer, aching, pain, everything is going to be curcumin.
I knew it.
So, yeah, to mention all of that. And it's literally, matter of fact, and so you know how fair I am and light colored eyes. And, mm-hmm. and so I'm very susceptible to sunburns. And so actually I take a group of supplements that are high in polyphenols, including curcumin, which is the active ingredient from turmeric. Mm-hmm. And I take those. And actually I was out, was it Saturday afternoon on my tractor, brush hogging in the sunshine for 4 hours without any sunscreen on.
Wow.
And I did not get sunburned.
Wow.
Okay. And so what happens is that these polyphenols from the plants, including the curcumin, repair our cells.
That's insane.
And so therefore, I don't have to use, a sunscreen. Now, I did put on a hat mm-hmm. and just to kind of help protect, a few areas. And so my cowboy hat or another floppy hat just kind of protect my ears mm-hmm. From excessive, amounts, but short sleeves and shorts out there getting all dirty and everything. And so I want to maximize my skin exposure. There's other nutrients besides just vitamin D that our body makes from sunshine. So there's right. many benefits to that. So mm-hmm. I want to allow that. But so curcumin is one of my favorites. And then probably the other one is going to be green tea.
Okay.
So matcha, mm-hmm. matcha green tea is my favorite because it's really concentrated, the ground up leaves. Mm-hmm. And it's, I don't know what they say, it's what, 5 or 10 times stronger than green tea?
Green tea, yeah. Mm-hmm. I have some right here in my mug too.
Matter of fact, I didn't have time. I had another appointment right before our start. I barely got here and switched gears. And so I normally have a glass of, and this time of year, it's going to be iced matcha. Mm-hmm. And even then I'll put a little mint on it. I have some mint from the garden that I'll put in it.
Ooh, I love that. That sounds really good.
Oh, I love the smell and the little bit of a taste. And you don't have to grind it up. You just put it in there, mix it in, and that flavor goes in there. It's wonderful.
Do you add anything to your matcha? Like I drink mine just with warm water, but are you somebody that mixes it with a little bit of milk or anything else?
No, I don't mix it with anything else.
Okay.
And so I don't like sweets.
Yeah.
And so I'm not going to add any sweetener to it. The milk thing, it's a little bit of a concern for my history. Mm-hmm. Actually, I feel better. So when I first started doing this back in 2000 and I started making changes what I eat, and I realized that when I cut out dairy, milk, mm-hmm. and decreased for the most part wheat, I no longer had allergy problems. No more congestion. I didn't have as much congestion and having to clear my throat and things like that. And I felt so much better. And then when I kind of gravitate back into a bad situation due to overwork, mm-hmm. I'd leave from the office and go immediately to church. And on the way home, I'd stop by at Taco Bell, a hamburger, French fries, or Taco Bell. And I'd pick up fast food and go to church. Mm-hmm. And I'd work on things for our Christmas musicals big musicals we'd have every year. I'd work until about midnight on those. I had all kinds of problems, autoimmune problems, a pseudo gout, inflamed joints, and major problems. And then every time I'd get back off of that and clean up my diet, oh man, I was great.
Yeah.
And so by trial and error, I kind of learned about that. So therefore, the dairy, I don't add dairy to anything. Matter of fact, we don't have milk in the house. Mm-hmm. I rarely have ice cream. I have to admit, every once in a while, I will have a scoop of ice cream.
Yeah.
I have an ice cream cone occasionally. I don't think we have to be perfect. But on a daily basis, I'm not a baby cow. I don't need to drink milk.
Right, right.
And so therefore, but now we do have a hemp seed milk for the house. Mm-hmm. And so you got real simple to do. We don't even strain it and filter it out. We just grind up in a blender and hemp seed and water and a tiny bit of splash of vanilla into it and a tiny bit of monk fruit, into mm-hmm. it, or a couple of dates to just sweeten it up just a tiny bit. That's what we use. And but I don't even add that. I do make my wife an iced coffee latte out of that.
Yeah, some people do really like the lattes or a little bit of like even just the non-dairy milk. And I always say you can do it at home. If you can do a nut milk at home or make it at home, it's going to be so much better and fresher and taste good than buying it at the stores, right?
Exactly. That and the cost, you know, and that's one of my pet peeves, and especially for young people that are trying to start their life and they're spending $5 to $10 a day at the coffee store every day.
And you just don't know what you're getting. You don't know what you're getting. You don't know the quality of coffee that you're getting. And you don't know the quality of, you know, cream. And not to mention, most people out there are getting some sort of syrup or additive or something, right? It's very rare not to. So yeah, I couldn't agree with you. Okay. Mm-hmm. So what do you think is the biggest mistakes that people are making with supplements right now? And like, we talked a little bit offline about this too. On social media, I feel like at least with my algorithm, with all the health and wellness, I'm being fed supplement ads all the time. There's people, you know, out there promoting supplements in, like we spoke about, right? Understanding yourself and what your own deficiencies are, I think is the first step. And then using supplements to help bridge the gap between those deficiencies with food and with supplements or whatever the case is, whatever is going on. But, you know, there's supplements out there that people are promoting about anti-inflammatory, and this is going to boost your immune system. This is really going to help with, you know, cancer prevention. And I see it being marketed, and even like the GLP-1s, this is going to act like this can help, you know, help you lose weight, help you balance your blood sugar, you know, all things that fall under the cancer prevention umbrella. And I just think it's so easy to get sucked in, right? And to then have a drawer of supplements that you're depending on every single day. And I'm curious, from your perspective, since you are just such an expert in this, you know, what the biggest mistakes people are making with just all of the plethora of supplements out there?
Well, number one is we got to start with food, mm-hmm. our diet and our lifestyle. So our diet and our lifestyle, you know, is more important than supplements, number one. So we have to address that. So that's why, you know, 95% of my posts are about food, mm-hmm. a little bit about lifestyle, and a little bit about supplements, and because we have to change that lifestyle and supplement food above everything else. And then what I usually find is that people are taking kind of like a multiple vitamin mm-hmm. that, you know, may not be appropriate due to the folic acid, mm-hmm. for example, and there's some other nutrients in that, and then poor quality, the oxidizing and gluconate, you know, mm-hmm. Words at the end of the minerals. And so usually I'm kind of taking people off of that and going a little different direction. Do you really need those items? And do some testing to evaluate that. Besides kind of that multiple vitamin mineral, usually I see on most of the herbal type things is that people may not be taking the right kind of dose.
Right.
And getting enough. And so I've been helping people, once again, since 2001, 2008, when I started actually writing articles and my computer, I've got thousands and thousands of files you know, on this stuff. But I started actually, you know, giving like high enough doses for them to be therapeutic. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of a challenge, like the curcumin, mm-hmm. you know, one of my favorite ones, actually is not well absorbed. Mm-hmm. And so these polyphenols from plants are geared to be more like a food and a lower dose. And so we have to sometimes play some tricks on them, you know, for our body to absorb it. So a curcumin with a black pepper,
yeah.
you know, increase absorption anywhere from like 10 to 2,000%. Mm-hmm. It depends on the person, actually, mm-hmm. you know, and so it does two things. It helps increase the absorption. But then the black pepper also keeps the liver from getting rid of that herb.
Oh, interesting.
Good and bad. So now the black pepper at high doses may actually have interactions with drugs.
Got it.
So we have to be a little bit more cautious with that. And then there's another company that actually combined they merged the polyphenol with a protein. So now the body thinks it's a protein, so we mm-hmm. can get it absorbed and we get higher blood levels
you know,
of these herbs. So that's the issue. And you know, there are many different herbs that have anti-cancer properties. Mm-hmm. So, and matter of fact, you know, here, you know, where I live, there's even herbs that we don't even think about, like the mulberry leaf, and stems, the blackberry leaf and stems, not the fruit, but actually leaves, have significant anti-cancer effects. So we should be making teas from that, where, you know, we hear about the soursops and some other things that have become sensationalized. And they definitely can have some benefits, but we have to get enough of those to make a difference.
Right.
And so that's, I think that's the biggest challenge, is getting an appropriate dose without becoming toxic.
And everybody's dosages are different.
Yes.
So that makes it just so much more difficult too, right? Because you're like, oh, I think I'm doing the right dosing, but then you actually might. I actually have heard that about vitamin D too, especially with people who have like autoimmune conditions and stuff too. You might have to take, you know, triple the amount of vitamin D for it to actually do something to your body and to help, and to help with the, you know, all of the things. So that's just so crazy though. I think that's a really good point. And probably a big mistake we're all making when it comes to supplements, not understanding the dosing, not understanding your bodies. And I agree with you. I have a lot of clients too that are like, what are some supplements that I can take that just will help me recover and help me get stronger? I'm like, no, it starts with food. It starts with what we're actually putting in our body, because that's the foundation. You know, the supplement shouldn't be the primary. It should be the secondary. It's a supplement. You're supplementing, right? The food is really where all the magic happens. So speaking of food, so what are, or I would say, like, if you had to narrow it down, what are a few, let's say like five good nutrients that you believe that, you know, if you're looking to prevent cancer and just live like a really good, solid, healthy lifestyle, that you should be eating on a daily basis?
So probably the number one thing, and this is actually difficult to say because I live in cattle country.
Mm-hmm.
And so, as a matter of fact, I help my friend with cows. I work cattle, and you can see the horse here. And so, we live in cattle country, but, you know, probably the number one food that has the most anti-cancer benefits are actually legumes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so beans and lentils,
mm-hmm.
you know, are extremely important. So I have a cancer keto guide, and actually, so it's cancer keto, spelled K-A-N-C-E-R, trying to be a little different because this is different, but I actually encourage eating beans every single day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I do that almost every single day. One of my meals is going to have beans in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then my cancer keto program is kind of flexible. So a vegan can do it, you know, or a meat eater can do it, a carnivore can do it. But, you know, typically like up to one animal protein a day. Mm-hmm. And typically my wife, actually, she loves that meat.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's her choice. And so that typically the nighttime meal is going to be some type of animal protein. But then at lunchtime, I'm typically going to have some type of a bean salad or hot beans or cold beans or something like that. Especially three of them. So black beans, pinto beans, and kidney beans actually do not spike the blood glucose as bad as most of the others.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
And so those are also darker color. So much fruits and vegetables and legumes, a darker color, typically have more antioxidants.
Right.
They repair our body, but also it's the fiber.
Right.
And so the fiber helps the gut to work better. You know, we get the good bacteria, our immune system's better. We trap toxins in the gut and can eliminate that.
Right.
And there's so many benefits to it. And so, but that's probably like the number one thing that, and I probably get more pushback on saying that on social media than anything else.
Really?
And so, yes. And so, you know, there's the carnivore group, you know, that they believe, you know, that eating meat, you know, as a keto diet, you know, is an anti-cancer type, you know, way. And I think we need more data on that. Mm-hmm. That's a newer type, you know, way to eat, you know, concentrating on primarily animal with very little plant products. It's going to take some time to get the data on that. So that's, you know, number one, you know, but now everybody's a little different. And so I think we have to be kind of cautious about some things like colon cancer. You know, dairy products actually reduce the risk of colon cancer.
Mm-hmm.
But actually for prostate cancer, dairy products, no matter what the source, even yogurt, increases the risk of prostate cancer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So dairy is kind of one that I try to be myself a little more careful with, but depends on each person as to what to do for that. But beans, I think, you know, beans and legumes, I think, are extremely important besides the green tea and coffee. You know, those beverages, I think, are fantastic antioxidants.
Absolutely. Okay. So beans, we have green tea, we have coffee. Mm-hmm. What are some other must-haves? Give me two more must-haves that you think are really, that we should be eating daily.
It kind of goes seasonal even, but actually nuts and seeds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I eat a serving of nuts and I eat a serving of seeds every single day.
Mm-hmm. And do you switch it up? Like, are you good at varying your diet and keeping it nice and diverse? Or do you just have like a few things on hand that you know are your go-tos?
I kind of rotate somewhat, although mm-hmm. walnuts actually have a lot of cancer research behind them.
Sure.
More so than all the other nuts and seeds together. And walnuts seem to be a little bit special in that some of the nutrients in that our gut makes what's called urolithin A out of it, which is a major anti-cancer and even like a brain alert chemical. And so it helps the mitochondria to function better. So I kind of tend toward and almost always have some walnuts every single day. Mm-hmm. And then I'll change that up. I'll have a couple of Brazil nuts to help get my selenium
sure.
in a day. So selenium's important. Mm-hmm. I don't take a multiple vitamin. So, which would normally have some selenium. So I do take that selenium or Brazil nuts in place of a multiple with selenium in it. But I do kind of, you know, rotate it around. So we actually have, you know, in the pantry, I can't even show you this, but it's like 5 feet of nuts and seeds.
Yeah. All in the containers. So you.
All in containers, all lined up. And so in variety, you know, so it's going to be varying. And you know, I'll kind of go with actually like a salted pistachio if I've been outside and I need to get that salt.
That's a great one too. Yeah. I think everyone forgets about pistachios a lot. I feel like we know like there's so many good cancer fighting benefits with walnuts, right? I think it's been studied so much too.
Yes, exactly. So European American type thing. So it's just a lot more studies on those versus the other nuts.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. Pistachios are a great source of antioxidants, I believe, as well, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that color, mm-hmm. you know, and you know, it's a great option. So matter of fact, all nuts and seeds, basically, you know, and some may be a little bit better than others. I think we have to be a little bit more cautious about sunflower seeds. And so that one may not be quite as good. You know, and so I don't eat very much of that, but I eat all kinds of nuts and seeds, and I will eat some sunflowers occasionally too.
Wow, that's amazing. Okay, that's good. Those are good takeaways too, because I feel like those are easy to incorporate. It's not something so off where you're like, this is going to feel so hard to incorporate into my diet, right?
Mm-hmm. One of the things I like to do on that, matter of fact, actually, I have what's called a palm rule on my website.
Okay.
And palm rule for cancer foods. But basically that snack, I reach into that container of walnuts and I just grab a big old handful, mm-hmm. as many as I can hold in my hand. And then I put the container away and put that in a bowl because I can eat more than that. But right. I put that in a bowl. That's a snack.
Okay. Is that the palm rule then is showing you what an actual snack is? It's the size of your palm?
Yeah, size and thickness of your palm. So that's enough for that snack. Mm-hmm. And then actually, I typically go with 3 palms for a meal
okay.
to kind of help guide that quantity. And so, you know, and if it's beans, it would be like 2 palms of beans. And then I had a vegetable, like seasonal, it changes. So with our garden, it's going to be okra or tomatoes, maybe zucchini. You know, whatever is kind of coming out of the garden, radishes and things like that, or carrots, kind of off-season carrots are available. And so it's like 3 palms for a meal is kind of where I'm trying to go to help keep from blood glucose going up.
Right.
And like, it's easier to eat. I could eat a lot more beans than that.
Right.
And so, and then actually I'll sprinkle the hemp seeds in with that because each tablespoon of hemp seeds has got almost 5, not quite, but maybe about 3 grams of protein.
Yeah, it does. Mm-hmm.
And so a couple of tablespoons of hemp seeds brings that protein level up, along with fiber, anti-cancer nutrients, you know, type of thing. So yes, so I've got a free download on my website, The Palm Real for Cancer Foods, and then another guide about quality supplements, free guides, downloads.
Yes, that is a great resource. I'm going to download that one for sure too. I mean, both obviously, but especially with the quality of supplements. And I wanted to ask you too, it kind of skipped my mind, but when you're looking at like a supplement bottle, besides like the minerals, I know you said like zinc oxide, you know, the magnesium, the minerals, is there any other red flags that you see in a bottle where you're like, no, this doesn't sound legit, I'm going to put it back? Or is there any like buzzword that you see on there where you're like, nope, I know that that's just marketing and it's a buzzword and it's not quality or legit? Like sometimes when I see labels and phrases, it's almost like when you go to the supermarket or to the store too, right? When there's so many labels and it's like non-GMO, or, you know, when you're looking at makeup, it might be, you know, vegan or things like this, where sometimes it's distracting you, right? It's like, yeah, those are great things, but that doesn't necessarily mean that the food that you're buying, the non-GMO food that you're buying, is the right choice of what you should be buying, right?
Yeah. So there's one thing recently that I've noticed. Some supplement companies will put on there, it'll say USP, I believe it is.
Okay.
United States Pharmacopeia, which actually I don't like.
Okay.
And so actually it's an outdated pharmaceutical grade, you know, guidelines that have been updated hundreds and hundreds of times since it first came out. And that company that has that USP on there, mm-hmm. they're trying to make you think that's a better product. Okay. And so that's one of the things I look at, and I see companies doing that. And for me, that's actually, believe it or not, that's a red flag.
Okay.
So there's also now GMP or CGMP, you know, almost all supplement companies have to follow that.
Okay.
And they may put that on their bottle, but if they start having a lot of like different labels about how, okay, I've got this certification and this, not certifications, or you know, we follow these guidelines. That's definitely a marketing type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wonder about that. Why are they feel like they have to do that?
Yeah, that makes sense too. It's like, it's almost like you're trying to distract me so much from like
yes.
thinking about it that I'm just going to buy it. It's like, oh, it must be good. It has all these certifications, right? But it's yes. hard from just a consumer perspective or someone for me that doesn't know a lot about supplement labels or what, you know, what to watch out for, you know, does that mean something, right? So the USB kind of, USB or USP?
USP.
USP. Okay. So USP uh-huh. is something to watch out for. That's a red flag for you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then the minerals too.
Yeah. And the minerals. So those are a couple of things. And so I think those are probably like the main things. And then also I just kind of, you know, if they have a lot of marketing, mm-hmm. you know, behind it. And like a client yesterday, she said, I ended up buying something because I watched this 1 hour long video telling how good it was.
Those videos suck you in, especially when they're right doctors too. Because it's like,
exactly.
wait, I trust this doctor. And they made this hour video. I've literally gone down the rabbit hole a few times where I'm like, what am I doing? I've just spent 25 minutes watching this doctor, right. You know, and at the end of the day, it's promoting a supplement, right? And mm-hmm. it's like, okay, it's very easy to fall into that trap.
It is. And so, and that's why I told her, I said, well, I don't feel like that's probably a great product. And, you know, for what you're needing, you know, and so you need to see if you can get your money back on that. And then, you know, the TV commercials or even internet type things, and they say, oh, yes, you know, backed by, you know, a doctor or a pharmacist, you know, that's just a marketing mm-hmm. type thing.
It doesn't mean it's legit just because they're saying that.
Exactly. You know, that's a paid person,
mm-hmm.
you know, and yeah, so I just don't. Actually, being a former pharmacist, just because a pharmacist recommends it doesn't mean that it's good either.
True.
And because they, you know, they haven't studied it. You know,
right.
they're looking at medications, yes, but are they looking at the quality of the supplements? When you look at the supplements they're selling, I go, no, they're not. They
right.
don't know that. And matter of fact, even years ago, I had one company, they had a calcium supplement. This was before I sold the pharmacy. And I'd learned that actually some calcium supplements had lead in them.
Okay.
And the supplement company, I was selling a lot of their supplements. And so I said, may I have an assay on your supplement, on your lead? And he said, and the person said, well, we don't provide that information. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so I discontinued that line.
Good for you for making that decision.
And they're still in business today.
Oh.
And as a super discount, you know, product, because once again, they're actually just, it's, I didn't know at the time, but I mean, it was a cheap line.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and therefore they're just getting the cheapest thing that they can get and putting it into their product.
Right. It doesn't matter what it's mixed with or what kind of contamination's happening. That's why I think too, like, third-party tested supplements are always a great way to go to, because you know that there's no conflict of interest and someone's testing the quality, making sure, you know, there might not be a lot of heavy metals or it's not being mixed or cut with anything too. That's something that I will look for when I'm purchasing supplements or anything really, is like, is it third-party tested? I want to make sure on that. Is that a good rule of thumb?
Exactly. Independent third party.
Right. Independent
testing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, as a matter of fact, you know, I was on the medical advisory board for a supplement company for 5 years, and we helped set up supplements and set up the formulas. And as a matter of fact, I was very impressed with this company, and I still have some of their supplements and take some of their supplements and recommend them some of theirs, and how strict they were about, they get a product in and they would actually test it themselves.
Wow.
To make sure that each and every ingredient was there like it's supposed to be, you know. And so they didn't trust the manufacturer or source. They tested it themselves.
I feel like it would be the same way. Like, if my name's going on something and I'm giving it to people, I want to make sure it's the purest form. It's not harmful in any way, you know, just on some moral ground, you know, and just knowing that the product you're putting out is helping people, not harming people, you know, and having that kind of standard, I think is really important. So that's good to hear that there's companies out there that are doing that and going the extra mile. And I do know too, like, there's a few companies that I've come across with tea and just like certain things where they go above and beyond to make sure that the quality is not only so good, but it's there, that there's processes and procedures in place to make sure that their products are coming out good. And it's like, once you find a couple of those products or companies, you just stick with them because you know you can trust the company. You know, if they're doing that due diligence, then more than not, you know, a lot of their products are going to be good to use and good choices.
That's right. Yeah, this supplement company, I've been taking and selling their products for 20 years.
Wow, that's good.
Yeah, they're doing great, you know, with what they do.
Sure. Has there been anything outside of nutrition and supplements that you do that you feel like has been a game changer for cancer prevention?
Oh, yes. You know, so lifestyle things, and definitely. So physical activity and exercise, extremely important. And then probably the most important thing that I see is, and it still goes along with that area, is actually like a sauna.
Yeah. I love sauna.
Heat source. And like, I do an infrared sauna at least 5 days a week. Mm-hmm. The only reason I don't do it 7 days is because I've always got stuff going on.
Sure.
You know, and there's going to be something that's going to happen. But I do it at least 5 days a week, and to ramp up my immune system.
Mm-hmm.
So once our temperature gets up to closer to 102. So, I mean, this is hard.
Yeah.
You know, pushing it. But I put a thermometer under my tongue and check that temperature. And so I want my temperature at least 101 Fahrenheit.
While you're in the sauna.
While I'm in the sauna. So toward the end of the sauna, you know, when the timer goes off underneath the tongue, that at work. And if I'm not to at least 101, I'm staying in there a little bit longer.
Do you have to be at like 101 or 102 for a certain amount of time? Or is it about just reaching that peak to get your immune system there?
We only have so much time. So I think there's only so much that we could do. I think actually 102 is ideal.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but it's more of a time issue. And then also, even at 101, I'm actually starting to get a little bit mentally challenged.
Yeah.
It's hard to concentrate.
Cloudy, yeah.
And almost a little panicky in a way.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of calling it quits, and I've got to get out. But that temperature, 101 is my goal. 102 is actually at the official point where the immune system is like ramped up. That's like if we have a fever from flu.
Yeah.
You know, or an infection, virus infection. That's how our body fights infections. That's how our body fights cancer. So that's probably one of my favorite type of things to do to increase that heat. I do some red lights. You know, I do some other things, but the sauna is one that I'm just really pushing. I'll even do it depends on how deep or where the cancer is. We'll do an infrared heating pad treatment.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't realize they had infrared heating pads too.
Mm-hmm. Infrared heating pads.
So you can target one source of the body.
Exactly. Yeah. But it only goes, about an inch deep. The heat mm-hmm. does. And so, but cancer cells actually die at 109 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
And so the goal is to try to heat that up. A lot of alternative clinics are actually doing like a whole body, type of thing, and even putting a refrigeration cap on, mm-hmm. To keep from heating up the brain, but they try to heat the whole body up to try to get it up to 109.
Oh, wow.
And so very difficult. And they have a rotation on how they do that and needs to be supervised. But there is a significant effect of heat. Mm-hmm. And matter of fact, it's exercise.
Mm-hmm.
And my heart rate is 140, 150, at that point. And trying to cool myself off. I'm red from dilated blood vessels, blood supply, nutrients, everywhere throughout the body, including where the cancer is. And so taking supplements before that, a session, it helps get that into the body. So sauna is probably one of my favorite non-supplement, sure. non-food type things, to try to implement besides exercise. So that's another area that it's a challenge. Actually trying to get clients to exercise is actually a challenge.
I know. I have the same experience with clients sometimes too. It can be a pushback, and it's sometimes we resist what we know we need the most too at the end of the day, mm-hmm. but you can't ignore the science-backed information around exercise, not only for cancer prevention, for cancer recovery, for reoccurrence, but just longevity and our brain health, our overall body, just mm-hmm. all of the metabolic, functions that we do. It's just such a free, supportive thing that everyone can start incorporating into their lifestyle immediately.
That's right. Yeah. And we need some accountability sometimes.
Absolutely.
So like a coach, family member, somebody or friend, partner to help us to do those things.
Sure. Sure.
And so my wife and I, we help each other with that on exercise and kind of give each other feedback on what we're doing and how many steps and things like that. And that definitely helps out. But sometimes we need some accountability or a partner, to help us to do various different things.
Keep us on track. I absolutely mm-hmm. agree. Well, thank you so much. This was such a wonderful conversation. And I know I had some really, really good key takeaways too. One last question before I let you leave. What's one thing you do for health every single day, no matter what, even on the bad days, even on the days when you don't want to, even on your hardest day?
Okay.
What's one thing that you do for your health every single day?
Probably, number one is actually coffee. So I drink coffee every single day. I drink 3 mugs of coffee every single day.
Okay.
I think it's very healthy. And it can be. And so coffee and matcha tea, are my go-to. So even when I'm fasting, as a matter of fact, fasting is another area that, we don't have time to get into. But even when I'm fasting, I'm drinking the matcha and the coffee, and water.
So matcha doesn't break a fast either? I know coffee did, but matcha doesn't?
Matcha doesn't unless you're putting the milk and other things in it.
Yeah, but just with water.
Just with water.
I'm so into fasting. I've really been reading a lot of books on it and been practicing it too. I know you talk a lot about it on social media as well. And I think you have a fasting guide.
Yes, I do. I do have a couple of different fasting guides.
Yeah, mm-hmm. which is really also a really, really cool beneficial tool for health and for cancer prevention as well.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we'll have to get into that next time. But tell everyone where they can find you. And you guys, you have to go to his website, Prevail Over Cancers. There's so many free resources on this website, but you can also see in a little bit more detail the types of coaching that Keith does with anybody that's struggling with cancer and looking to prevent. It's absolutely fantastic. I will be referring people to your website day and night because I didn't realize how much you do. So please tell everybody where they can find you and where your free downloads are going to be as well.
Sure. Yes. So it's at prevailovercancer.com. And I have a learning center with a lot of free guides. There's a couple of guides that are for sale. We have to pay for that website. And so, yes, we do charge for a couple of items. And I have a coaching page also that goes into detail. I even have a free 15-minute coaching session, initial coaching session, so we can just kind of meet and greet and get an answer to a question or two, and just to kind of break the ice and, you know, type of thing. So, yes, prevailovercancer.com.
And your Instagram is at prevailovercancer, right?
Correct. Yes.
Awesome. I'll put this information in the show notes too, so people can find it.
Thank you. Thank you.
No, thank you so much for coming on. It was so, so great getting to know you better and really hearing about your journey into cancer prevention and just really what you're having a heavy hand in a specialization in at this point too. Your work is so incredible. It's so beneficial. It's so helpful. I know that you are working diligently with so many people fighting cancer out there. So personally, I just want to say thank you. And I'm just so honored for you to have come on the podcast. So thank you so much for that.
Oh, my pleasure, Michelle. Thank you. And I'm excited to be here. And I can't wait to get this podcast and share it with people too, and share what you're doing too. So you have a great service for the public too.
Thank you. Absolutely. All right. Well, have a great rest of the day. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. You too.
I hope today's episode gave you something that you can use on your own healing journey. If this podcast is helping you, the best way to support it is by leaving a review on Apple or Spotify. Reviews help more survivors and cancer-conscious people find the show and get the hope and guidance needed. You can also watch these episodes on YouTube if you want to see the conversations and resources in action. Make sure you're subscribed so you never miss new episodes. The link is below on the show notes. If you're ready to go deeper, you can find my program at revivalhealthwellness.com. And you can also follow me on Instagram at revival.health.wellness, where I post practical tips on detoxing, rebuilding, and preventing cancer without overwhelm. Find that also in the show notes below. Remember, you are not broken and there is life after cancer. Together, we are rebuilding our bodies and our futures, one empowered choice at a time. See you next week.